fourth-year veteran on the practice squad was overlooked when Brandon Whedon wasn't cutting it, and they went out and traded for Matt Cassel.
Yes, they did.
So you're worse than Brandon Whedon and Matt Cassel.
We don't agree on much of anything, which is what makes our dynamic so much fun. But like you said, lately we've been agreeing, and it's starting to make me itch just a little bit.
But when the 8-bit Nintendo came out,
it
came with Super Mario Brothers, and if you were really, really lucky, you got the combo pack with a light gun and a game called Duck Hunt. That's what it looks like when Kellen Moore throws a pass. It looks like Duck Hunt out there.
The complete God complex that he uses as an umbrella to shield himself from decisions that him and his office and his advisors make. And KD's right on several points. Here's why nothing he said mattered over the course of that 40 days and 40 night dissertation that he just gave.
You think John Mara's sad about what Roger Goodell just did to Jerry Jones? You think the Rooneys in Pittsburgh are sad about what he did to Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft in New England? You think any of those three guys are sitting there saying, hey, Roger, you got to watch yourself. Don't get on that guy. They're loving it. Now I'm going to take it a step further, because this is how much research that I do, because I want to educate you when you catch this fade. I don't want you leaving. I don't want you leaving hurt. I want you leaving with parting gifts. All right. You are now rocking with the absolute best, the exquisite, the unbelievable, the entertaining, everything that you could want in a podcast and more. It is myself, KD Drummond, and my homeboy, Patrick Walker, and we are here to help everybody in the universe catch this fade. What's going on, Pat?
Not much, brother. Everything's looking good on this end. Shouts out to you, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in to catch this fade. What's going on with you, brother?
Ain't too much, man. I'm kind of sitting here in the afterglow of the wonderful podcast we did last week. For those of you that subscribe to us on iTunes or listen to us on the Cowboy Sports Radio, if you missed the episode, we kind of went into detail about everything going on with Ezekiel Elliott, and that kind of dovetails into what we want to talk about today. But before we get into that fallout, which will continue, I guess, for the next eternity, we have to talk about something else going on with the Cowboys, and that is the battle for the backup quarterback position.
Yes.
Myself, personally, I do these 53-man roster projections every week, since training camp starts and so on and so forth, and I've had Cooper Rush on my 53-man roster since after the first preseason game, the Hall of Fame game. Somehow, it's got even more evident how lackluster Kellen Moore is. But he's still currently the number two quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and I can't figure it out. Help me out here, Pat.
I wish I could help you out, brother, but I have no idea what they see in him. I don't know if he has naked pictures of someone in the front office. I really can't make two cents of how they see what we see. And actually, they see more than what we see, the way that, you know, the coaches dissect film. And if we can be, you know, this disgusted in his ineptitude, I don't see how digging any deeper would leave you anywhere but even more disgusted. So I don't know why they're so sold on him at the number two position. That just kills me.
Now, we know what we have with Dak Prescott. He is the future of the franchise, everything that you could possibly want in a quarterback. He was a late round pick, which means he's cheap as hell. On top of being an MVP candidate, the reigning rookie of the year, he is pretty much, as I said, everything you could possibly want out of a number one quarterback. You have him on the cheap for at least three more years. They're going to pay him after three, so really on the cheap for two more years. But with the way the Cowboys structure everything, he won't hit their salary cap that much for at least another 4 years. They'll do some restructuring, all of that kind of stuff. Yet somehow, Kellen Moore has lasted from the Romo era to now. And it's just, it's inconceivable. They signed him to the practice squad in 2015.
Right.
This was before Romo even got injured. Scott Linehan brought him over from Detroit, right?
Right.
When he was in Detroit, I don't think he threw, did he throw a single snap? He didn't throw a single snap
in the entire time
in Detroit.
No, he never activated with the Lions, not once.
Right. He was on their active roster for the first year, for his rookie year, but I don't think he ever made it to the game day roster. And then he was on the practice squad for 2013 and 2014. That's a hint.
A strong one.
That's a hint. Yet somehow, after Scott Linehan came over and then the Cowboys were in need of down the roster depth, they signed him to the practice squad. Now, when Tony Romo got hurt, Brandon Whedon came in, right?
Ugh.
You remember that? I know.
Yeah, well, I mentally suppressed it. I had, you know, finished up therapy for that, but I guess I got to go back now. But continue, Bob.
Yeah, I don't want to make light of what our, you know, what our veterans deal with, but there's a bit of Cowboys fandom PTSD over the name Brandon Whedon.
Oh, man.
But to make it even more evident of how down the process Kellen Moore is, a fourth-year veteran on the practice squad was overlooked when Brandon Whedon wasn't cutting it, and they went out and traded for Matt Cassel.
Yes, they did.
So you're worse than Brandon Whedon and Matt Cassel.
To a horrible degree, because keep in mind, Matt Cassel was here, and Romo goes down in 2015. They start playing Whedon. His play is not cutting it. They put in Matt Cassel, and everything Matt Cassel threw looked like a dead bird with feathers coming off of it. And this is the guy that you could not beat out for the starting position?
Well, see, Matt Cassel, to me, you said that it looked like a dead bird was flying out there when he threw a pass. When Kellen Moore throws a pass to me, it looks like, I don't even know, this might predate you because I'm old as hell. But when the 8-bit Nintendo came out,
it came
with Super Mario Brothers, and if you were really, really lucky, you got the combo pack with a light gun and a game called Duck Hunt. That's what it looks like when Kellen Moore throws a pass. It looks like Duck Hunt out there.
I agree, you know, and all of us are that dog that's kind of laughing.
But we got to keep going out there and chasing down the dead ducks.
Yeah, it's not even because it's funny. It's you know, you laugh to keep from crying kind of deal, right? Because it's like, why is this guy out there? We're talking about a quarterback that the team only a week ago realized couldn't throw a Hail Mary, so they took Anita in the half.
Man, listen to what I'm telling you. I was watching the broadcast, and we were watching, I guess that was the Hall of Fame game, was the Cardinals game. So, yeah, that would have been, what was it, the
August 5th.
Right. And the announcers for the other team, no, Hall of Fame game, this was the preseason game after the Hall of Fame game, the opener.
Oh, the Rams.
Right. And the Rams announcers were making bets over whether or not Kellen Moore would be able to get the Hail Mary to the end zone or not.
Yeah, they were.
They were making bets on air about this dude's lack of a gun.
Yeah, they were.
Now, it reminds me, I have to shout out my man, Landon McCool. You know, he does a podcast. He does every podcast right now.
Lando.
He was at training camp last season before Kellen Moore got injured. And he told me, he said, look, these receivers and these cornerbacks aren't able to get the necessary work. And that's what it was last year's training camp. They aren't able to get the necessary work because when Kellen Moore throws a ball, it has no chance of getting anywhere to anybody that's beyond the 10-yard marker.
And that's valid. I mean, the guy has a noodle arm, and it's not even top ramen noodle. It's just, I don't know, man. He has the arm strength of a dead raccoon.
That's pretty much it, and we're not talking about the raccoon from Guardians of the Galaxy either. Because
no, we're not talking
he's
about.
A boss.
We're not talking about him. He's absolutely boss mode. We're talking about just a random head out to the woods this evening, follow the rancid smell, and wherever that leads you is probably going to get you a higher passer rating if you put him in the game than Kellen Moore.
Now, I know you're a Braves fan, so you might not be accustomed to enjoying yourself when you're at a ball game. But for the rest of the world that follows quality Major League Baseball franchises, they still come out. And also basketball. I don't even know if you have a basketball affiliation. I don't think you do.
Yeah, I left when, you know, the old guard left.
Yeah, you were an Iverson fan. I can respect that.
Once they blackballed the answer, I was done.
At these sporting events, there are these things called T-shirt cannons. And what they do is they launch T-shirts up into the air that go about 6 yards before they start to lose momentum. And if you're in the second or third section of the stadium, of the bleachers, whatever you want to call it, you have zero chance that one of those T-shirts will ever reach you. That's how these guys, if they're running sluggos or go routes or whatever, post routes, they know that ball will never reach them. It's like Deshaun Jackson. Everybody would take on the character of Deshaun Jackson and just say, screw it. I'm just running to get exercise because there's no way that this ball is going to reach me.
At all. I mean, this dude's arm strength is so severely lacking. I don't know, Katie, man. I just feel like he could smack a fly on the wall and the fly would lift his hand up off of him and fly away laughing. Like,
get off me, bro.
I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, it's bad news, man. But the Cowboys, they're dead set on them. I mean, they're starting to come up just a little bit for air as far as, because they're being kind of forced by the solid, actually strong play. I won't even say solid, the strong play of Cooper Rush. So they're cracking the window. But, I mean, if you look at what happened in today's practice, today being Wednesday, I mean, they went right back to putting Kellen Moore in the second team. So I don't know, man.
Now, I understand all of the reasons why you want to have a veteran behind Dak Prescott. I understand all the things that he brings about the mental
but
aspect of the game.
But is he a veteran?
He's not even a veteran because he has nothing but practice experience. That was you stole my thunder.
Exactly. His veteran leadership is equated only to the mental aspect of the game. Absolutely not to the physical aspect.
Now, we were tipped off by a good friend of yours, Brian Broaddus.
Yes.
And he informed us that somehow Kellen Moore is eligible for the practice squad still. And I went back and I checked. And from everything that I can see, I guess they must not have paid him full wages last year for injured reserve. Or there's a clause that has not been revealed to the public because, you know, I try to keep track of everything dealing with the salary cap and all that. But somehow...
Yeah, you don't do much right, but you do that very well. But continue.
Why, thank you very much. The other thing that I do good is kick your ass on Catch and Save. So I'm 2-for-2 right now. Now, Broaddus has informed us that Moore is eligible to be on the practice squad. So at this point, you know, practice squad guys don't make any money, and you're not going to release him to make him into a coach because assistant quarterback coaches don't make $600,000, and that's how much he would make on somebody's roster if somebody did pick him up. He's not going to automatically just say, okay, guys, cut me and I'll be a coach, because they're not going to pay him more than what they're paying Wade Wilson or whoever else is, you know, in that hierarchy. So that's out the window for people that want to do that. The only other option is to give him more than you would a normal practice squatter and put him on that and call it a day.
In the same way that they did Rico Gathers last year.
Exactly.
They paid Rico Gathers $449,999. Ladies and gentlemen, that is $10 short of what the 53rd man made last year.
There you go.
So if they really, really want to do, if they want to keep his football IQ there, and have him there for insurance, I don't know why, because Cooper Rush is looking very much like Geico right now, and then you got, you know, Kellen Moore looking like, I don't know, Safe Auto, and not the 2017 Safe Auto.
Trash
more
Andrews.
Like the 2003 Safe Auto, with, you know, just the worst of the worst.
Yeah,
but
Andrews.
If they really want it, if they really just are diehard set on keeping Kellen Moore around, like you said, KD, cut him. Nobody's going to be clamoring for him. He's going to clear waivers. And that is a virtual guarantee. You pick him up on the practice squad. You pay him $449,990, which is a pay cut for him. But if you look
more
at it from
deserves.
Your standpoint, you're right. What you look him dead in the eyes and you say, hey, where else are you even going to get $449,990?
Not playing football anywhere.
Not playing football, sir. I mean, maybe if you go back to Boise State and convince them to make you a quarterback coach or an assistant coach, then I could actually see him making a good penny there. But if you want to be affiliated with the NFL, I think you take that, you know, 450, just under 450, and you thank your lucky stars, no pun intended, that you still have a chance to play in this league because you've been here half a decade. Your record is 0-2 in 5 seasons. 0-2, 779 yards total. 4 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. Katie, explain to me, why is this guy still wearing the star?
I have absolutely no explanation, so I don't even really want to talk about it anymore. I'm just going to say one last thing. For all of you Boise State Bronco fans that saw Kellen Moore and searched and found this podcast and are up in arms right now carrying your tiki torches that you got from
Walmart
and all that kind of stuff. Come at me, bro. I'm ready for you. Now, you know what it is. This is Catch This Fade. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond, rocking out with my man, Patrick Walker. Find him on Twitter at Voice of the Star. And, of course, you can find me at KD Drummond NFL. So get your complaints in.
Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and just with a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets to the Nationals playing the Mets later on in August. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. Best of all, our listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code Cowboys today. That's promo code Cowboys for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase.
We have to give a special section of Catch This Fade to the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell.
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
Now, this is going to be one of these situations where, you know, recently Pat and I have been agreeing about a lot on this show. And that's not really the premise that we decided to build this show on. We've been sending faith to everybody else.
That's not even how we are in real life, ladies and gentlemen. We don't agree on much of anything, which is what makes our dynamic so much fun. But, like he said, lately we've been agreeing, and it's starting to make me itch just a little bit.
Well, itch no more. Get your preparation H or whatever it is that you need to control your itching. I don't, you know, I don't itch myself. I take regular showers, so I like to stay itch-free. However,
right before you put on your Jason Witten panties, huh?
That's a low blow, bro. However, Patrick is about to go on a serious rant against Roger Goodell, and then I'm going to tell you why he's 100% wrong.
I don't understand, and I keep an open mind. I would like to believe that I'm a very objective person. I'm one of the more objective people around, actually. I mean, I'm human. I have my beliefs. But at the same time, I like to look at things from an outward standpoint and just say, okay, well, even though I might not like this, maybe it still serves the greater purpose. That is not the case when it comes to Roger Goodell. I don't understand why he is still here. Now, I say that loosely in the aspect of, I understand, contractually, that's more or less why he's still here. Guy's under contract, right? But news recently broke that he is reportedly in talks of solidifying an extension that pushes him into the early 2020s. If I don't see how the timing could be any worse to grant Roger Goodell an extension on his contract. Now, some will say, well, the league is making money hand over fist right now, more so than the Paul Tagliabue era. Yes, but I think that's more so correlated to the birth of social media and, you know, that behemoth in and of itself helping the ratings of the NFL, because it's always being talked about. Now, there are things that Goodell has done, I will say, positioning certain things, like how he positions the NFL draft and how he's made a spectacle of, you know, the schedule release each year. Those things I get. But if social media was alive and well during the Paul Tagliabue era, I would say that there would still have been a lot of more money being made in the NFL. So I don't want to hear the money argument, because I think that's negligible if you're looking at all the variables. But more so than anything, I look at the unfairness in which he operates, the complete God complex that he uses as an umbrella to shield himself from decisions that him and his office and his advisors make on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, year-to-year basis that really hurt the league. Look at the Ezekiel Elliott situation, for example. This isn't about simply Ezekiel Elliott. It's about the dangerous precedent that this would set if this were to be upheld, the six-game suspension I'm referring to. The ripple effect that happens, as Katie and I talked about in great detail in the previous podcast, is absolutely monumental. But from a Roger Goodell standpoint, all he's looking at is the immediacy of the PR win. And it's not even a PR win on his end, because the key demographic he's trying to pander to with an unjustified verdict on Ezekiel Elliott is split down the middle, which is the woman base, which is the fastest growing demographic in the league right now. So he's pandering to that. But he's not even winning them over in totality. So whether it be the Ezekiel Elliott case or just the inconsistency in which he does things, because you'll have a situation like Elliott, who was never charged, right? It was simple. It was an accusation, dismissed. Mm-hmm. All the evidence points to her having no credibility, or his accuser. But then you have another situation where a player will be on film or repeatedly at have admissions of being domestically violent, Josh Brown, and and what do you get? You get a one game suspension. So it's the way he handles himself as far as inconsistency and punishment. If you're going to leave, if you're going to rule with an iron fist, at least be consistent with the iron fist. Okay, don't be a flower on Monday and then an iron fist on Tuesday, and then, you know, I'm not with that. I think that the league, and this is a perfect time, because timing is everything. If they really want to get rid of Roger Goodell, look at all the variables that are occurring right now. The planets are aligning for the owners to do that. And I think that's one reason why yesterday when Jerry Jones was on 105.3 FM, The Fan in Dallas, he wouldn't comment on the potential extension of Roger Goodell. And I that tied into what's going on with Ezekiel Elliott. And I know for a fact there are other owners that aren't completely pleased with Roger Goodell. It's just time for him to go, man. That's where I'm at.
The frustration in your voice is overwhelming. It's an overwhelming amount of frustration. And I will say that that was a very quality what's the word I'm looking for?
Monologue,
diatribe.
Yeah.
Expose, rant, whatever.
we're doing Dateline.
Right, exactly. That was an expose on why Roger Goodell is an asshole.
Next level.
But I'm here
Stone
to tell
Phillips.
You. I'm here to tell you that everything that you said was more or less 99.8% valid. And none of it matters.
Nah, man.
None of it matters.
Oh, okay. Spit your game.
I'm going to break it down for you why it doesn't matter.
Spit your game.
It's not even about how much money Roger Goodell is making the league, because, yes, the league would be making money whether somebody else was in Roger Goodell's position or not. It's really not about him. What's the best way to say it? Let me back this up. What it's about is the fact that Roger Goodell is he's not a puppet, but he's a figurehead for the owners. He shields them from public outrage over the things that they want to get done. Now, look at what's going on with the last CBA. Roger Goodell basically, and I hate to say this, he pwned Damaris Smith in last CBA.
Yeah, true story.
They exacted, they were playing chess when the NFLPA was playing checkers. Why haven't the players gone on strike yet? Mm. Why is this still happening? Exactly. There's no answer for that. Despite the fact that they bet the players' union over a barrel, there's still labor peace right now. They've gotten it to the point where these people are upset. They might come out and talk. And this is a perfect storm situation where you could see the players going on strike, from them blackballing Kaepernick to the completely ridiculous penalties that they're putting on players that really have no rhyme or reason. Mm-hmm. All of these things, in addition to everything else, are justifiable reasons for the players to strike and say, you know what, we deserve more control over this and you can't treat us this way. Mm-hmm. Yet it hasn't happened. That's a feather in the cap of Roger Goodell. And what they've done is they've extended him for the 5 years or 4 years, however long this extension is going to be, to handle the very next labor negotiation when things come open in 2020, 2021. That's the primary reason why they've extended him, is so that he is in the seat when they go back to these negotiations, because he's already proven to them. They don't care about anything else. They care about keeping the larger percentage of revenue away from the players and in their own pockets. And that's what Roger Goodell has done for them. We as fans, we hate him. We love the NFL. We don't like the direction it's going. It's getting watered down. It's doing, you know, the player safety is an issue, and all of these types of things are going on and on and on. But for right now, the NFL isn't suffering. And the players aren't striking.
For now.
And the players aren't striking. Now,
so I will say this final counterpoint to that.
No. Hold on. I got more to go. I'll allow you to rebut from that.
Speak it.
There is an inner circle among NFL owners. There were five NFL owners that basically groomed Roger Goodell to be the next commissioner and got him in that seat back in 2006.
Uh-huh.
Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Richardson in Carolina,
mm-hmm.
John Mayer of the Giants, and the Rooney family. He's only pissed off two of the five. So he still has a majority vote amongst the inner circle of people that agree with him. Now, let me tell you why the rest of these guys don't care what he did to Tom Brady in New England and don't care what he did with Dallas and might even like him for it. Jerry Jones, the biggest battlefront that the NFL has had behind the scenes was, how are they going to get back to L.A.? It's been on the docket for 20 years. They've been trying to figure out how to do it. There were two plans that were up for debate. Going to Carson, California, and then going to the site in L.A. where they eventually moved the Rams. And remember the whole thing that was going on, whether it was the Rams and the Chargers and the Raiders, and all of these teams were trying to figure out where they were going to go. Mm-hmm. Jerry Richardson was the guy that was spearheading wanting to move to Carson. But Jerry Jones' side won. Now, Jerry Jones, we've all talked about how he's the secret commissioner of the league, how he has his hands in the pockets of all of these teams on the West Coast, and he's getting a lot of their PSL money and all that kind of stuff with no risk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Jerry Richardson was trying to put himself in that kind of power broker position, but he lost when he lost the Carson bid. So you think he's sad at what Roger Goodell just did to Jerry Jones? You think John Mayer is sad about what Roger Goodell just did to Jerry Jones? You think the Rooneys in Pittsburgh are sad about what he did to Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft in New England? You think any of those three guys are sitting there saying, hey, Roger, you got to watch yourself. Don't get on that guy. They're loving it. Loving it. Now, I'm going to take it a step further, because this is how much research that I do, because I want to educate you when you catch this fade. I don't want you leaving. I don't want you leaving hurt. I want you leaving with parting gifts.
The word educate implies that I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I know you know this, but you might have forgotten in your rage against Roger Goodell. So I'm just trying to – let me rephrase that. I'm here to bring you back to earth and know that it's all about the financials. You know who determines – you know who determines the money that Roger Goodell makes on an annual basis? Arthur Blank. Mm-hmm. Arthur Blank is a committee chairman that determines the commissioner's salary. How do you think he feels about Jerry Jones and Robert Kraft?
Not all warm and fuzzy.
You know who else is on the next level of next tier of owners? Robert McNair in Houston. How do you think he feels about Jerry Jones?
You already know.
So out of the top five, he has three of the five still on his side. And out of the top seven, he has five of the seven on his side. Roger Goodell is safe as hell, bro. So he's going to get this money and he's going to go into the CBA and he's probably going to kick the Players Association's ass again. And they're all going to be sitting around saying, hallelujah, kumbaya, whatever you want to put on it. But that man is doing his job for the people that hired him. And that's why they're going to give him extension. They don't care about the publicity or how the fans feel about this Ezekiel Elliott suspension, because look around at the world that we're in. Ain't nobody going to remember Ezekiel Elliott suspension in 6 months. Cowboys fans are going to forget it if we make the playoffs. They're going to be like, yeah, he's fresh as hell. He doesn't even have the wear and tear. Thanks, Goodell. Thanks for giving him a month and a half vacation. He's fresh as hell to run over these defenses in the playoffs. I mean, I'm joking. I'm joking. We're going to care.
That's fair when it comes to human nature part of it. That's fair.
Nobody's going to remember this stuff. But who's going to remember? The bottom line of all these owners. And knowing that they're going to be getting 57% out of the next CBA for all the revenue, and the players are still going to be sitting over here happy as hell that they're millionaires while these guys are making money hand over fist off of their work on the field.
That is an exceptionally lucid and articulate point you put forward there, Mr. Drummond. I, for one, am very,
very proud of you, and I hate to have to do what I'm about to do to your argument in only 30 seconds. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that. And KD's right on several points. Here's why: nothing he said mattered over the course of that 40 days and 40 night dissertation that he just gave you. Okay. What the owners need to understand is that by, if they were to go ahead and extend Roger Goodell, that is, in fact, pretty much going to guarantee a lockout in 2021. Now, if we're talking about guys, multi-billionaires who like making money, and that's all they really care about, to KD's point, that is, in fact, all they care about. But in order to keep that cash cow alive, you have to feed it. You have to feed it content. You have to feed it product. You have to feed it games, whether it be preseason, regular season, draft, the pre-draft process, the scheduling release, and things of that nature. TV contracts are driven by ratings, of course. If there is a lockout and the
NFLPA... You mean
a
strike. Let me help you. You mean a strike.
Strike. I'm sorry. Potato, potato, Boise State, whatever. If there is, in fact, a strike come 2021, there will be no product on the field. There will be no product on television. There will be nothing for anyone to tune into. And if the NFLPA really digs in their heels and they take the extension of Roger Goodell as a slap in the face, which it appears that they already are, and they're using the Ezekiel Elliott situation as gasoline on the fire, if that were to happen and they dug in their heels and we really don't know how long that strike would last, every week there is not a game on. There is hundreds of millions of dollars in lost revenue, which would make any wealthy person nervous, because as you and I both know, the best way to affect change is to hit them in the wallet. So, ladies and gentlemen,
see, no, you can't get off that easy. You can't get off that easy. We're going to have to go overtime, because here's the simple fact of the matter. What's the average length of an NFL player's career?
Oh, I mean, it's short term.
3.8 years.
Yeah, it's short term.
3.8 years. So you're telling me that when the majority of the league is no longer around, they're going to be worried about what kind of suspension he gave to Ezekiel Elliott and whether it was fair or not? Hell no.
Oh, no.
Roger Goodell could switch. He could switch directions. He could start going lenient in the last couple of years. And he could easily play the whole contingency of the Players Association and be like, oh, look, it's a brand new Roger Goodell. He's really not that bad. And then when they go into negotiation, they can be like, okay, well, we're going to go ahead and give you back control and have an independent person deal with the penalties. And the NFL's Players Association is going to be like, oh, well, we won. There's no reason for us to strike.
Ah, the Washington D.C. Game, huh? The
dude,
political
I'm trying
game,
to. I'm
it's just like it's all about recency bias. So you're saying
that's
feed off the
all that matters.
Bias.
That's all
feed
that
off
matters.
The recency bias. That's fair. I mean, that you know, you're making some really good points. They're not as worth as much as mine, but they are valid. and I accept your points. And I know that's really what you need to hear, because I validate you.
Well, that's very kind of you. That's very kind of you. I accept your effort. I can't accept your point. I accept your effort. A for effort. Golf clap.
Oh, man.
And
KD,
that's
out
how
here Kellen Moore in this whole podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I want to apologize for him. I had to come in here and Cooper rush it. So you guys, you're welcome. You're welcome.
That's it, man. We're out of here. Tune in again for another exciting episode next week. This has been Catch This Fade. I am, of course, KD Drummond. Find me on Twitter at KD Drummond NFL. And that is my man, 5 grand, Patrick Walker, at Voice of the Star on Twitter. I'm going to let you send it off, Pat, because you need to have something positive with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to the Catch This Fade this week. Subscribe on iTunes. Make sure if you have an Android, download it on Cowboy Sports Radio app. And with that being said, we are out of here. KD, Patrick Walker, it's science.
You know what it is. Salute.
Hey, I'm working here, you know what I'm saying? Try to put yourself in my shoes for a second. Not personal, I'm just saying, though. When the moon came out till the sun came up, I was supplying the days with what they flame up. I'm almost passing by, trying to explain us. Kissing in the bushes like they never house trained us. But try to understand.
understand, that's how we came up. You get to know us, you love us, but you can't change us. Now, really, we'd rather be rich and famous. But in the meantime, we forced to slander. A throat with crack cocaine, penicillin to Rogaine, ecstasy, Viagra, whatever, get the domain. I'm tired of people misrepresenting my domain. Oh, you think we out here killing for nothing, hustling for no game, man? Hey, man, I'm just doing my job. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, lady, don't mind me, I'm just doing my job. Yo, yo, I don't wanna make your life no hard, I'm just doing my job. Yo, yo, yo. I don't know if you don't know, don't care, or can't see. Every time something up in the hood, it ain't me. And I ain't always up to no good.